Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Carmen Muro, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint radio show sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be interviewing Kevin Scopel on the subject of psychics of faith. And before we get started on that topic, it's a very intensive topic, it'll be very enjoyable, I can assure you. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts for this evening. Stephen, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you, Carmen. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's been a rather mild day here in Eastern Canada.
Oh, yes, thank goodness for that. Rather mild here as well. Break before the cold weather actually gets here in earnest. I'm excited about the show tonight for sure. Been waiting all week for this.
Can't wait for you to contribute, Stephen, because you've got some very good, you have a good theological background. What do you do, Stephen, just for the readers that haven't met you before?
Ah, okay. Well, I'm over at PsychicAccess.com with yourself and all of our co-hosts here, and in addition to a whole bunch of other very talented psychics. I'm a tarot card reader, and I practice medieval astrology and a whole bunch of other wonderful things, and I'm just, again, glad to be here this evening.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Steve. We have another Steve, but he is Steve with a V-E. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you, Carmen. How are you?
I'm okay. So you're trying to just maximize this while it lasts, the weather thing. It's just grievously cold here, hey? And
is it already?
Well, not today, but it's up and down, surprise, surprise. And for us up here, it's 6 months of darkness and cold. So how's the weather where you are tonight?
Well, actually, it's been warm today, but I was in bed sick, so I didn't really see it.
Oh, well, thank you for coming. Oh, goodness, I know what that's like. Tell us, what do you do, Steve? How do you help us at Psychic Access?
Well, I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer, so I use both tools to help clients and enjoy it very much.
It's fantastic. And so you do use tarot cards as well?
I do sometimes, mostly intuition and astrology.
You're very good at that. Okay, thank you, Steve. I mean, he sounds like he's using tarot when he reads. Amazing stuff. Maureen, hello, how are you?
Steve and I are the ones that aren't doing too well tonight, are we? Well, I mean, I'm happy for your show.
Thank you. Well, too bad the show isn't happy. Where is the show? Hello, show.
Your show would be great.
Thank you. How are you doing tonight, Maureen? You say you're not feeling well, but beyond that, in your state, what do you actually specialize in with our company?
When am I feeling well? Yes, okay. I am an intuitive psychic empath, not feeling well all the time person.
As empaths do, right?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Yeah, that could be part of it. Sometimes you don't know. And could be my elderly aging process. But I do love my work. And it is hard, though, you know, when you're not feeling exactly the way you want to feel to do this work. But I work with everyone here at PsychicAccess.com, and I do love my work.
You know what I see it as when I feel like that? I'd see it as a form of a trance state. You know how people used to starve themselves and go through sweat lodges and such? Same diff. Yeah, feel better, and thank you for joining us tonight as well.
Thank you, Carmen.
Well, so tonight we are going to be doing a very intensive and deep topic, as all our topics are. But tonight we're introducing Kevin Scopel. He is an author and biblical teacher who expanded his spiritual studies through his church. And his church is the Southern Baptists of Tucson, the Pima Division. And to include persons that his book includes persons that experience psychic visions. Having a firm belief in Christianity and encountering persons in his church with psychic ability, he set out to detail the correct scriptures and the original quotes to help educate Christians and non-Christians on ESP and the Bible. Having studied the Bible at length for over 20 years, Kevin wrote a book about his knowledge on original biblical history and the correct scriptures for psychics and people with visions. This book may help allay the fears of psychics, Christian and non-Christian, about their understanding of Christian theology and may help dispel the myths of psychics who think that they are possessed by Satan or who think that they're going to go to hell for their natural abilities. You can visit his website at www.bibleforpsychics.com. So I'm going to be extending a warm welcome to Kevin here tonight.
Hello, Carmen.
Hi, how are you?
Quite well here. A little out of our colder nights of the year.
Okay, so you are west of us, so that means it'll be hitting us soon.
Yes, it tends to go that way normally.
And you're in Tucson, so cold for you is...
Cold for us is going down to 30 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 2 Celsius in your terms.
That is actually fairly chilly. Well, welcome, and to our wonderful cozy evening here on Psychic Access. And I have just been thinking about everything that you've been writing about, including there were lots of topics that you covered, such as psychics representation in the Bible. And what we'll be covering today is also some of the misconceptions about psychics, such as, are we really possessed? Do we go to hell? Can we divine psychic work? And what is psychic work in the Bible? How is it defined? And what is its scope and breadth? So you wrote this wonderful book, Kevin. And please tell us a bit about yourself. And he has a very wonderful book out, and he will be discussing it tonight. So let's have a look at your history, Kevin. You have been with this church for how long?
Well, with Beaver Street Baptist Church, I was with it from 1999 to 2011 right now. Mm-hmm. My membership is still there, but this is the way I'm teaching currently.
Okay, and so you have quite an extensive knowledge of a version of the Bible, and you want to be specific about this because for those of you that know or learning a bit more about the Baptists' way of thinking, it's very much specifically, is it not, based on actual verbiage in the scriptures, very, very much to point, going back to perhaps its most original sources, so as to attain or maintain the truth. So a lot of what you do is study of scriptures and its versions. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the thing is that we believe that the Bible is above any other doctrine in the Southern Baptist Church. And what I've done when I was teaching my classes is that we would have several versions that we would bring. And if it came to a particularly tough scripture, something that we really had to kind of dig into to get the meaning, I would have several people read from different versions, but we would ultimately like to look at the King James Version because it being a version that was commissioned 400 years ago, it stood the test of time at a time when scripture was held in much higher esteem than it has been in the 21st century. We would kind of defer to that as being a little bit on the more authoritative side. When it really came down to that.
And for those of us that don't know, when was that exactly put together and printed?
402 years ago in 1611.
Okay, so this would have been prior to the printing press, so this would actually have been written in manuscript form, is that correct?
Not actually. Gutenberg invented the printing press approximately 150 years before that time.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And there were... both handwritten and printed versions of the original King James versions.
Interesting. Okay, so this would have been the official version that has been pretty much printed out. So that is the most original version that we know. And your story goes back, as you say, 20 years. But do you give us a little bit of background on you, Kevin, and what brings you here to us?
Well, to bring it in a nutshell, it actually goes back further. 38 years ago, when I was a teenager and I was dating a girl at our church that was a psychic. She basically was precognitive. She could tell you anything before it happened, and it would come true. And it was that that really got me intrigued into saying, okay, how does she do this? And in the long course of the way, I asked a couple of youth leaders at the church I was at then, I said, what do you think of somebody who just knows things before they happen? And they said, that's not of God. I'd stay away from that. The other youth leader who was listening said, yeah, I would stay away from that. Well, you try telling a 17-year-old boy that his girlfriend is not of God or of the devil, and I wasn't buying it, especially because I knew that she herself was a Christian. None of this was matching up, that you either had to be a psychic or a Christian, but you couldn't be both. My wife, in fact, today, she is a psychic and a Christian, too. So, it isn't fitting with this view that, it's mutually exclusive.
That's right. And I was reading your book, and it was quite fascinating, really, Kevin, because you were talking about different forms of psychic visions that had been described in the Bible, mostly mediumship. And then you gave a fascinating account of how mediumship works. That mediumship, if I'm correct, you were able to access certain archives, let's say, of biblical visions, have them reinforced by certain persons in this area, in, I want to say, not purgatory, but in Hades, not hell. And please explain that to us, because that's a really fascinating concept. We're just going into this very quickly here. What he described, just for you guys that don't know, is he said that basically we can access sort of a biblical archive in a sort of a holding area in the spiritual world that is pretty much a channel through to these archives. Is that correct?
Well, here's what had happened in reality. First of all, I don't deal with purgatory. That I believe is a Catholic thing that happened roughly in the Middle Ages. But biblically, this is what happened about 3 years ago. I was preparing a lesson on heaven, and I thought, well, I'll go through the entire scriptures through a word search electronic Bible. And it was much to my shock that I was finding out that there was not one single scripture that supports the fact that when we depart this life, that we're automatically in heaven if we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Conversely, if we had not received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we were automatically in hell. And what I was finding was scriptures that were alluding to the fact that in the Old Testament, the place was called Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. In the New Testament, used the Greek word Hades, both referred to a place of the dead. I was doing a sermon to fill in for the pastor one night on the subject of Jonah, and in Jonah 2:6 it said, "You brought my life back up from the pit, O Lord." And I had said that Jonah had died and was resurrected, and he said, "No, it cannot be." Well, the pastor took my message, looked it up, and said that he was in Hades, the place of the dead. And he said, "I didn't think that that was possible," but he says, "You were right, that he was in Hades and God resurrected him." I believe that I had said that there was over 12 references to Hades in the New Testament and over 20, correct me if I'm wrong there, in the Old Testament referring to Sheol as a place that we will go to prior to the fact of Sheol or Hades giving up the dead at the time of the judgment. That place will be thrown into the lake of fire. Then we are judged at that point, and those who have received Christ as their Lord and Savior will go into the kingdom of heaven, So at this point, mediums are correct in saying when they refer to the other side, that that is a place that we are going prior to this judgment.
Okay, so let me summarize. So it's not purgatory, because that's a Catholic term, but this area is like a sub-area of, this is very interesting lore and mythology for those of us that like this kind of story as well, that an area where we can go and we can not be judged, but where we can discover who we are and what we want to do, where we want to be. So after we've passed, we have another chance, according to your scriptures, to be able to be redeemed or to accept, you know, your God and so forth. So that's a very interesting notion, because it's very final in the Catholic religion, or in any, most Christians feel that that's it. You die and that's it. You will go to hell or heaven. But you actually have this in-between phase, and this is where what I found quite touching and very interesting in your writing. And this is where the mediums will go in and access biblical wisdom. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know that they access biblical wisdom in Sheol. Mm-hmm. What I do note is that mediumship is validated by the fact that it says in 1 Peter 3:18-20, it says, Christ was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he went and preached to the spirits in Hades. And...
Oh, I like that. That's great. What?
So the fact is that Jesus did that. And then, of course, you go back to your Gospels. And in John 14:12, he says, he who has believed in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do greater things than these because I go to the Father. So there you go. That's your biblical evidence that mediumship is a spiritual gift.
And what I liked about your book was the definition of gift. And for those of us that have been in this industry, some of us have these silent eye rolls when we think of what we do. Gift or curse? Often a curse, certainly marketable, but some of us have no other option but to have constant visions or insight into things that we maybe have no use for, that we maybe have no understanding of, and then get persecuted for. And what you defined as a gift was very interesting in your book. You mentioned that this could be anything from spiritual wisdom, such as psychic work, all the way through to administration or craftsmanship. That the definition in the biblical teachings were that these were actually skills, and that they were on par with regular everyday trade skills. So that, in fact, it was not seen as anything special, higher than man or higher than God or higher than anybody's vocation. It was just an everyday opportunity to work, and in this case, spiritually. Is that correct?
Well, I disagree with you on one thing, is that any of the talents or gifts, and by the way, there is no distinction in that. In fact, I checked one of the early dictionaries that was used close to the time of the King James Version, and one definition of talent and one definition of gift are actually synonymous. But the fact is that the Lord puts those into us. In the 139th Psalm, he says, I praise you, Lord, for you saw my unformed body in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You knit me together. That's not addressed to Satan. That's addressed to the Lord. And if you're born with your gift, and many of, in fact, I will say at this point, with my limited knowledge of how many psychics I know, all of the ones I know were born with their gift. So you can't attribute that to Satan. The likewise is that, you know, in Joel 2:28, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. You know, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see visions, and your young men shall dream dreams, even on my manservants and maidservants. And he puts it that way to illustrate Christianity. I will pour out my spirit. And so you, again, if he's pouring it out on everybody, this refutes many times the Christian argument that says only Christians can have spiritual gifts. From the negative side of that, you've got in Matthew 7:21, where they say, well, many will say to me on that day, referring to judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not prophesy and do all these things in your name? And he said, you know, I will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. So that illustrates that spiritual gifts are not limited to Christians, but they are given by the Lord.
Fascinating. You know, and they all have, they have different applications, because one of the things what I was trying to get through here is the gift, is it defined as divination or natural spontaneous visions? Because you're correct in that my first vision and most of the kids, people that we know, we had them as kids. We were probably our earliest memories are seeing spirits before we had the right or the opportunity to decide what, you know, religion or beliefs we wanted to live by. So these were very, you know, the very true assertion of this. Now, you were saying that one of the reasons why we're also having such a good discussion over the last few weeks is discussing with us the distortion or the change of the words in the Bible, in the versions of the Bible.
Yes. One of the main, there's what I used to call the five anti-medium verses of the Bible. This would be Leviticus 19, 18, Leviticus 20, verse 6, Leviticus 20, 27, Deuteronomy 18, 10, and Isaiah 8, 19. These are the core verses that Christianity uses. And what I was referring to is that each one of those verses uses the word medium. It'll say, like, do not turn to mediums or spiritists, for you will be defiled by them, says the Lord. That's Leviticus 19, 18. Well, the problem is that in the King James Version, 402 years ago, the original wording was, do not turn to them that have familiar spirits. Well, originally, I always thought that that was written that way because maybe the word medium hadn't been coined in the English language yet. But when I went to look it up, it said a spirit that attends at a call, which is, as you've known enough mediums to know, it does not work that way. When you go to look at the time that Saul, King Saul of Israel, went to a person with a familiar spirit in 1 Samuel 28, the woman asked, what spirit do you want me to call up for you? That is not like any medium that I have known.
Exactly.
So, you know,
very,
that is
very
a practice.
Good point.
It's
saying, yes.
So what's happening there is, it's if that person didn't call the spirit wouldn't initiate the contact. That is the kind of work that the Lord is forbidding, you know, and forbidding people to turn to is the person that has a spirit that they call upon. But as you know yourself, you talk about seeing the visions. You talk about, you know, seeing spirits that come to you that you do not have control over. That is something that you probably have remembered since, you know, your earliest memories, and those are not condemned in Scripture.
Yeah, and then this is where we went into an even more delicate discussion in your book about it being okay. Okay, there was two points that I thought were fascinating. For one, that even, let's say you are Christian, and you want, and you have to have natural gifts. Like, this is what I found was an interesting point that you brought in. It's like, please don't try and become psychic. I mean, if you have an interest in it, sure. And if it's for Christian reason, that's nice. But your book didn't necessarily encourage every layman going out and picking up a bunch of tarot cards and teaching themselves to read. It was specifically to do with natural visionaries.
Well, let's put it this way.
Which I agree with, by the way. I think that's a very interesting
notion. Did I talk over you?
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says that all of the gifts are given by the Spirit, and He gives them as He determines. The way I put it in that 14th chapter of the book, which you read there, was that, you know, if you sought to develop a gift that the Spirit decided was not right for you, you would become second rate at it.
Yeah,
and
so
you would
cool.
be disobeying the Lord, of course, first, but you'd be second rate at it because the Spirit feels you're much better in a different gift. For example, myself, the Lord gave me the gift of teaching, which you'll find in all three lists of spiritual gifts expressly stated in the New Testament. The Lord decided I don't need to be a psychic because I have a wife who is. And yeah. So he gave me this gift. Melanie, who you read about in the book, you know, she said to her, said to me last week, she said, you know, mediums are a dime a dozen, Kevin, but she says, you are a gifted teacher of the word. And yeah. She says, I don't find many of those.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's actually quite redemptive for us in the psychic industry, because we get a lot of spammers and imitators and people that, you know, unfortunately, that take down the level of our work. There are a lot of very, even newbies and whatever, they're pretty good, but there's a huge imitation, a group of imitators that, you know, profess to be healers, that profess to be spiritual, that teach themselves psychic work. And you're right, they may not be very good at it. And that's something I struggle with, because I try to teach people empathy, and I try to understand, like, you know, for, you know, the greater good, why people are maybe good at what they do, but maybe not as compassionate, or maybe why they're not good at divination at all, as which I can see with certain people. And that narrows it down to specific people being able to divine or bring across messages. And this includes usually beneficial messages. Would you say that there's any specific tone that a medium that you feel should adopt if they are connected to the correct source?
Well, I would probably not say that, because I'm not a medium myself, and the only thing I garner is what Melanie has told me in there. But I would say that, you know, you give what you're given. You know, in fact, John the Baptist said this in John chapter 3. He said, a man can only give what is given him from heaven. Now, as Melanie has told me, that when she sees something, she just gives it. It could be an oddball item. Like she told the story with us on our last talk show together, that she did a reading when she was a teenager, and there was a red umbrella. Well, she thought that was silly, and she didn't mention it in the reading, but this person felt that something was missing and said, are you sure you told me everything? And she said, well, okay, there's this thing about a red umbrella. And she said, my grandmother carried a red umbrella. That was her. So the fact is that if you give everything straight, she was telling me an instance with a lawyer that she was seeing, and she says, there's this guy standing right by you, and he says his name is Raymond. And she and the lawyer said, that's my dad. They said everybody called him Buddy, and she said very few people knew that his name was Raymond. And it was a strong confirmation to her that the lawyer's father was right there in the room.
So that's like an like what I would see that is that's almost like a verification process. When people are able to pick up correct cues, then one would assume that they can go through to a higher source quite easily. Yet, you know, some of the things I wanted to talk about was, you know, there's also a sense of what people get into when they do spiritual work, and no offense to anybody who does, but there's a certain amount of mania, rapture. And a sense of heightened excitement to the point where these things can encourage many, many forms of many movements and wars and revolutions and such due to the heightened excitement. And then that would bring us to people that perhaps state they have visions and that may not be the correct visions. Now, I'm sure that you get people in your church who have correct, well-meaning visions, but they may not necessarily be true. Would they be considered false prophets as well? Let's say they're seeing the kingdom of heaven, they're seeing Jesus and whatnot, and are they considered false prophets? Because you had a very interesting statement in your book, which I thought was very nice. If you could quote me on that, because you were actually quoting words of what Jesus said. He was saying, beware of false prophets, because the Pharisees will take, and I'm pleased that's not verbatim, they will put on a show, they will basically take you for your money, and they will play it up as if this is the correct, they will put more force on you, they will make you work harder, and there was something like that. Can you quote me on that? I will actually try and look that up here. I have your book.
Well, okay, the original biblical source was mm-hmm. talking about hypocrisy and the fact of people seeking a reward. This is in chapter 10, if you're actually thumbing through the book right now, where I talk about, you know, what about my gift? And talking about being compensated for using a spiritual gift. And in the end, I said, you know, watch out that, you know, prominence or popularity is warned about, because Jesus was there saying in Matthew chapter 6, you know, don't be like the Pharisees and those who stand on the street corner and pray long prayers just so someone can think how holy they are. He says, truly, I say to you, they have their reward. And he's saying, you know, don't put on a big show of piety more than anything that he is saying right there. And so, you know, I devoted two chapters in there, both chapters 9 and 10, about working for the Lord, being dedicated to working for him, what you can expect, what you have a right to have, what you may choose to defer until you're in the kingdom of heaven. And that's really where that all comes in.
That's phenomenal. I mean, so, you know, what I see from this is that, and I understand this, I don't know if you study the Apocrypha, but that there's a little hint in there about Jesus perhaps being testy, frustrated, and vexed, to say, put it nicely, with imitators and people that were trying to abuse or usurp his teachings and his sufferings. And I will look for that now. It was such a heartfelt implore. He was imploring people not to listen to these people. And so it's, again, beware of imitation. And you could take this into the further biblical context as well, and saying that people may have an understanding of the Bible, but they may not have an understanding of the message. And we were talking, and you were saying that, you know, you study everything very, very literally. Now, I remember there was I was looking up, we were discussing it the other night, Corinthians, I think, you know what, I'm new at this, so please help me, but spiritual gifts. There was a statement in Corinthians that talks about spiritual gifts, right? And I'm going to try and look that up right
now. It first talks about, it gives a list of the spiritual gifts, then it talks about the fact that it compares the spiritual gifts to the parts of a human body. This is all 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if people have a Bible there. I also discuss this in chapter 7 of my own book. It first says that, first of all, you cannot say that there's more important parts and less important parts, that you can't say that there are needless gifts, but that sometimes one gift protects another, one is more prominent while the hidden ones are more important to a certain function. And then he gives us slight ranking at the very end, you know, that he is called first apostles, second prophets, third evangelists and teachers, and goes on down until he, you know, reaches the gift of tongues.
Read that list out? Can I read that out for our readers, our listeners, just the first few?
You're talking about the list I have in the seventh chapter?
Yes. Here, the message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, healing, you have miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, so for those of us that like to talk about difference between ghosts and spirits, speaking in different types of tongues, interpretations of tongues, which many of us don't have experience in, apostleship, pastoring, teaching, ability to help others. 14, we have administration. So that would be the administration of, I guess, the organization. Encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, mercy, and then evangelism. Now, those are the lifts, the gifts that were listed in depth here, that you have done this list. And then you have, furthermore, you have in the Old Testament, artistic craftsmanship, justice, strength, revealing of mysteries, interpretation of dreams, music, speech, and rest, guidance, and boldness. Now, these are beautiful lists. And then also, I love number 31, which is Ecclesiastes 5:19, which is the ability to enjoy your work. of all things that we've never thought about, because, you know, we're taught to be so pious and to basically ignore some of our own needs due to the teachings. And you know what? I'm going to put you on a break for one moment. We're going to go to a commercial for 1 minute, Kevin. We're going to just come back to that point and reconnect with you. Okay?
That would be great.
Great.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, welcome back. We are going back to our conversation with Kevin. So Kevin, you know, we were talking about, you know, syntax, or at least the way things were written in the Bible as well, because, you know, they gloss over, you've summarized so very nicely what gifts are, and they certainly aren't they're all pretty amazing in terms of music and such. And then what I want to say is, for an example, with what we have in the Bible is written, as could be misinterpreted, is two versions. It says here now in Corinthians 1, chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by those dumb idols, however you were led. Yet I have seen a version of it that would say these mute idols." And I can completely understand how these things would be misinterpreted. You know, by the average person, they would look at that and they'd go, stupid idols. But they don't actually understand that maybe it is about mute idols, people that are looking at effigies, which in essence, you know, many religions don't really encourage.
Representations. What I'm really speaking of is that an idol cannot speak, it can't see, it can't hear, you know. It's simply an object of metal or wood.
So then they would not be just dumb, they would also be blind. And so that is, for example, a good example of a not a very good interpretation of Scripture, because what you're trying to say is, no, they're blind and mute, and they can't speak. They can't speak for us. So this is the kind of twists and turns that one sees in biblical writing that, you know, you're trying to work through, which are very specific terms that can have broad misinterpretations for all of religion, huge groups of people, and the inclusion of more people into your way of thinking.
This is, again, why, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, that when we came to passages that were on the touchy side, we would look at several versions in the class, have people read them. We would give a little bit more credence to the King James Version for what it was. One of the toughest lessons that I had to teach over the 21 years was having the topic of Jesus turning the water into wine at Cana of Galilee. This is one where nobody seems to leave the Bible as it is stated, but wants to add things to it. And the whole reasoning is their minds have trouble accepting the fact that Jesus would create an alcoholic beverage. We're not told why.
Oh dear, but shouldn't that be a gift?
Well, I tend to think of it this way. Jesus didn't have gifts. He was the giver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, using the Holy Spirit to give gifts, and that Jesus himself gave gifts, is many times interchanged in the Bible and used to mean the same.
So the giver and then the gift itself.
Right. And so that's why he again said, "He who believes in me will do what I have been doing." And of course, I haven't ran across people that are turning water into wine, but the whole idea there was that too many people had to interject something so that it would comfort their traditional ways of thinking that, oh, you know, it's a sin to drink alcohol. No, it's a sin to get drunk. You know, same thing that you probably read in the book. It's not a sin to gamble. It is a sin to be greedy.
Okay, so that's correct. That's nice. So then that wouldn't compound guilt, and you wouldn't have to feel, you know, which of course is for many people a self-perpetuation of addiction, for example. And that would be more supportive as to say, you know, that it's necessarily bad. I mean, that you can enjoy that gift in the moment.
So, yeah, and again, you know, a person would have to exercise wisdom. But this is why, again, when the verse says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit is giving you that wisdom to say, here's the point where you can handle it. You know, beyond my human limited ways of seeing it, the Holy Spirit would say, here is the point that's enough. Here is what you need to do next.
Okay. So don't gift and drive.
Yes, I guess, is that a good one for the holiday season?
Yes. Well, now this brings us to exactly the top of the year, which is sort of for us that, you know, now that we're all warmed up to you and know that, you know, we're not, you know, I do know this from growing up that I was always damned, you know, I still probably am to some extent. And in the eyes of many different types of believers, even for charging. And you mentioned that, you know, charging is okay if you feel you want to charge. Like you were talking about one of the apostles that did not. He just got exchanges. Was that John or Thomas? I can't remember.
That was the Apostle Paul.
Paul,
he gave the reasons why. Was that at that time there was people out there who were calling themselves, as he called it, the super apostles in the Second Corinthians. And he wanted to set himself apart from that. He also wanted the people of Corinth to see that he had no ulterior motives. You know, most of us, you know, you hear some new great thing and you're thinking, okay, what's it going to cost me? He wanted to absolve himself of that. And the third thing was he wanted to set an example that he would work harder than the rest of them and set that example that, you know, if you're going to work for the Lord, expect to work. It's not a gravy train. So Paul did that by his choosing, and I made that a clear illustration in chapter 10, that when he accepted no money for his work as an apostle, that was his choosing, and that Scripture bears out that, you know, he will have a reward in heaven for what he's not taken here in that way.
Yeah, now that's true. And we wanted to discuss heaven a little because we already touched on Hades and thank goodness some of us, you know, we have a chance to learn from life's mistakes and then pretty much wake into consciousness if we can't get it or grasp it in this life. But you would think you'd want to enjoy this life, you know, in a spirit, in a good way. And, you know, Maureen, she wants to ask a question. So I'm just going to bring her in here.
Is this a short? I just want to make a comment before you were talking about the gift and the giver. And this, by the way, I'm really enjoying the interview, by the way. You know, I was wondering, I always tell my daughter, never love the gift more than the giver. And when you were talking about that, I really felt that applied.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Never love the gift. So now that would be, again, the message and not the psychic. But surely you can like the certain psychic that comes in.
Well, no, he was talking, you know, you were talking about, you know, he turned, well, you know, like water, he did these things, and it wasn't like that, he was a giver, Jesus.
I know, so it wasn't really a miracle, it was just the fact that he felt like doing good stuff.
Yeah, so we should never love the gift more than the giver itself.
Oh, I see, in terms of, like, don't get addicted to the... to the wine.
Well, yeah, and is that really what you were saying?
Well, one of the things about the story in John chapter 2 of the water being turned into wine is that it's about obedience. You know, he simply had his mother Mary had said, you know, they have no more wine. And then she turns to the servant and says, do whatever he tells you to do. Well, he points to 6 stone jars and says, fill it to the brim with water. And then he says, I want you to take some of it out and bring it to the master of the feast. You know, and to this point, these people have not seen him do a miracle previously, because it's stated at the end of this that this was his first. So they're probably thinking, this is silly. I'm supposed to draw some water out and take it to the master? He's going to think I've lost my mind. But they obey to the letter, and the master of the feast says, usually they serve the good wine first and keep the cheaper stuff for later, but you have kept the best wine until now.
That's funny. So you could probably store up some of the good stuff, essentially. And I hope that answered your question, Maureen.
I was making a comment. It wasn't okay. It was always something I thought was really beautiful when my daughter was growing up.
Yes.
Never loved the gift more than the giver.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a giver, you know.
But, you know, there were sides to Kevin, had you done any studies on the Apocrypha?
No. I've stuck strictly to the 66 canonical books. And, you know, as you were relating what you had learned in the Apocrypha, it had a slight out-of-character sound to me compared to the Gospels, because mm-hmm. Jesus mm-hmm. never, yeah, I guess from what I was hearing, was it sounded like he was trying to steer people away from others and towards himself, where he simply was saying, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, to beware of false prophets. He would say, you know, you will know them by their fruits. He simply laid out the course, because,
right,
you know,
no,
that is something we can
take
down
that I do have from
to determine, you know,
right, and
to say, okay,
speak.
You'll know them by their fruits. You know, you'll know whether they exemplify the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, so forth.
Yeah. Sure, and I was just reading into that, and I thought there was actually a very good chapter, and I'll try and find that for you, but where you described very well how he implores people to, and the suffering that he went through, and of course this is Jesus. I mean, I just don't think that the man would have just taken this, you know, lying down. I mean, he didn't. He was, you know, hung up on a cross. He didn't take it lying down, and, you know, he said, you have to turn the other cheek, but I bet you he had to learn to get to that point. And in the Apocrypha, they don't even know necessarily if they are linked to the Bible, but what that was is a theory of, and just for some of us that want to relate a little bit better beyond the subtext of the Bible, that perhaps there was a man in there that was angry and then evolved into a man that was very, by age 33, had learned from a lot of his ways. So there are different versions of that, and I think that's what I was reading into, because, you know, we really in our industry do have a lot of spammers, and a lot of us complain about that, and a lot of us try and give exemplary work, and then unfortunately, you know, whatever we define as good and well-studied, as, you know, you will find on certain sites like ours, but on the other hand, there are a lot of people like imitators, and I wanted to ask you, so that is my concern, but you have people, and I'm not saying I'm the best, but I am aware of how many people copy my work, for example, and that's where I'm going on. And then what I wanted to ask you was, so if a Christian person has a vision, is it necessarily, like you said, it could be the umbrella and it's a verifying vision, but do you think it could also be like necessarily not of Christ?
Well, that's very that could be very true. This is where, let's say if I were a medium, I would say the Bible command in 1 John 4:1-3 says, brothers, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Every spirit that confesses that Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and the one who does not confess that is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which is already in the world, as it says. Now, for somebody like myself who is not a medium, this is where it says, you shall know them by their fruits. Are they following Christ? Do you see evidence in their life of the Spirit of the Lord at work in them, where they are showing the what we call the fruits: love, joy, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, that you read in Galatians 5:23, is that being exemplified in their life? And of course, then, as I said in chapter 10 of the book, is kind of the track record. You know, has what this person said come to pass? How accurate has it been? How many times have they done such a thing? You know, and I treated it in that chapter very much like a bank loan application. But if you were to go first off, I would say look at the characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. You know, and that should tell you a lot right there, whether this person is somebody to give consideration to.
Okay, that's cool. So in other words, though, well, we have to be judges, master judges of behavior in a sense, and what we would see as good in one person may not be necessarily if we perceive certain values. Like in our society, surely most people that are perceived as good, they have success. Whether the success is to be published, whether the success is to be rich, that is a measure of good. Yet for many people, and there are so many people that don't have that measure of success, that they are seen as void. And so could be a problem in the 21st century, right? For sure.
But this is why, Carmen, that I wrote the one chapter in the book about, you know, where I said working for the Lord, pay and benefits, and saying that, you know, the amount of success that we have or that we have the ability to do it full time is not the way that the Lord measures success. And I, of course, illustrated their point of, you know, going through a cemetery at the end and seeing that nobody is not acknowledged for their business success, but for whether they, for example, were a loving father or grandfather. And, of course, when we come to stand before the Lord someday, it's going to be, did you obey my word? It's not going to be how much of it I did, how many people I reached, because that's the Spirit's job. The Spirit is going to reach the people. It's, am I obeying Christ? And that's going to be the question asked of me. Did you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Did you follow him as Lord?
And for those of us that maybe cannot identify with the church, we want to be very clear for those of you that maybe have trouble with some of the history in the church, you know, with abuse and the abuses of the wealth in the system, that you don't have to join a congregation, though that helps, correct?
Well, there's only two commands that take a semblance of church, and of course the church is run with these. It's Hebrews 10:25, where it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's common believers. And 1 John 1:7, which says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and his blood cleanses us from unrighteousness. Neither of those refer to necessarily a church building, an organized creed, an organized, because, you know, I oftentimes, as I've said even in the book, is that church could be anywhere in the world today, as long as we have internet connections as the kind we're using right now. We can be fellowshipping together, but our purpose is jointly honoring the Lord himself.
Okay, so that's just up to some people to find the right pages and to feel accepted by the right organizations. And you know, I have to tell you, you know, if all Baptists are like you, and I've done some searches, and they're not. I mean, I felt like I was going through hellfire already just doing some of the searches online for videos. You know, it would be so much easier to listen and to join a faith like this. Now, you know, there are so many concerns for a person already in metaphysics as to what does it bring to their work. Will it bring an extra dimension? Will it close them down and so forth? But this feels very, very open to me. And I wanted to ask you, you know, you were discussing about one of the things that says, never override the words of the Bible. What would be an override if you had a vision?
This was, for example, where I talked about the story of Jesus turning the water into wine. Some people would say, well, that actually meant grape juice, or he was trying to fit to go along with a custom of the Jews at the time or something. Don't add additional teachings. This is, again, where You know, and on a different show, I had given six reasons why the church wants to keep perpetuating the idea that, for example, that if you're not one of them or you don't keep one particular ordinance of the church, that your gift must not be of God. I actually went into a list of nine reasons like that. And I said, not one of them holds up. And I illustrated why. I know that you're short on time, so I can't go into it that much now.
No, but it's a great point because, in other words, we can fill in with some of our visions, but as long as we don't go, oh, and we think that we will add to the book of Revelations this and this edition, and that's my vision, and that will be gospel, that's not necessarily acceptable. So what they're saying is you can fill in some of the visions and some of the prophecies, but you won't necessarily be taken as gospel. I think that's fair, and that's actually, you know, how one would perceive art, too. And music. Well, it would be up to the individual to some extent with that.
Well, I did write a chapter in the book, chapter 13, where I said, Departure of the Disciples, Why No New Scripture? And one of the lines in the sand that they draw is that the people who wrote the New Testament were either those who had walked and talked with Jesus while he was on the earth, or that they were closely affiliated with someone like that. So that, you know, once that generation of people had all passed away, you know, by the end of the first century, that standard could no longer be met. So that made the 66-book canonical Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, the standard by which we can compare any message to nowadays for validity and that it would come from the Lord, so that we have such a standard.
It's like a basic mathematical framework, and you should really stick to the basic formula, essentially, and the belief within the majesty or the beauty in that formula. And it's comforting, you know, when things are set. And I think that if you can draw on the parables, old stories, and you know, mores as such, that it is a comfort that you can reach back that far. And I really hope that in 5,000 years that we still have these stories. And, you know, it was a real pleasure meeting you. So much so. I really appreciate meeting you. And for those of you that really want a very nice read, please do go to this website. And I'm just looking it up right now. It's at thebibleforpsychics.com. And the book is called The Bible, The Truth About Psychics and Spiritual Gifts. So that's by Kevin Scopel. And, you know, you will please follow our links. Come on the site. Have a look through some of the material. He's even got excerpts there. It was a real pleasure and a real joy having you on our site and on our show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carmen. And I want to thank Doug, Maureen, Steve, and Stephen as well. You've been so great. I really enjoyed this.
Such an opportunity. Thank you, Kevin. We will definitely be wanting to look more at your work. Have a great night and have a very, very nice Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all of you there at Psychic Access as well from me.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
So, guys, wanted to thank you all for listening to this amazingly enlightening show. I'm telling you, I feel miles better already just talking to Kevin. You know, you can, again, see his site at www.bibleforpsychics.com about. And for any of the psychics that would have worked in our industry all our lives, we would have dealt with the old adage of, you know, you're going to go to hell, you are evil for your gifts. And many of us would have been tormented and probably would have felt excluded from Christian religion and other religions. And I endeavor to be able to illustrate many of the commonalities at some point. So I'd like to take a second to make a few announcements in a few minutes. And please be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. Now, again, for those of you that want to call in, please don't call in until about 14 minutes after the show so that we can cue you in. And we'll announce the call-in number then. So please, you know, have your pen and paper ready or listen again and again. And if you were unable to catch our last week's show, you will find a recorded archive link. And our last week's show was actually a Thanksgiving free read. So it was just a pleasant chit-chat roundabout, as well as archives of all our previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives Lab. tab. So please feel free to circulate and spread the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. And it is our objective to connect with as many individuals and organizations as possible. So share that link with others. Okay, and you can check out our Psychic Bloggers site as well to see additional information and writings about these shows and other amazing topics. So, hey, guys, you were listening in on this. We have some really well-known psychics here, very well studied. Who are we going to start with in our banter section for tonight? Let's start with you, Steve. You were very interested in this topic from what I could pick up.
Oh, sorry, Carmen.
He was entranced.
No, I was thinking. I know Stephen has a lot of biblical knowledge and is very well studied when it comes to the Bible. And
oh, you're so humble.
And I thought that I just
thank you, Governor.
First. You're welcome. So, and also I get confused by the names. We both have the same name. So, well, actually, Carmen, I want to say to you, I really enjoyed that interview. I felt that he's a really great guy and very genuine. And I get really excited when I hear people who are very true to their faith, to their religion, and I don't hear anything that conflicts with my spirituality, my beliefs. And I'm not saying I've got it all right, but it confirms for me that when we're just focused upon spirituality and God, our togetherness, our evolution, doing good things to make the world a better place, really we all come together. And I thought that it was a wonderful interview. I am very interested to learn about the Bible and all faiths, and it was just a great interview. I loved it.
You know what I do sometimes? Thank you so much, Steve. You know what I do sometimes is just for fun, if you're non-Christian, just open up the Bible on a page and just see where it brings you, like a tarot card reading. And you'll be surprised as to how it works, just like cards. For those of you that are Christian and that don't have cards, just flip a page open and you'll find exactly the message you need.
It's true, Carmen. It's very true. And, you know, these ancient texts are just incredible. I've been reading a book by a lady called Dr. Maria Kumann. She's a quantum physicist, but very spiritual lady, fascinated by metaphysics. And she wrote a series of 25 books. She's going to come on to our show so that we can interview her. And she's brilliant. Really, really great. But she refers a lot to the Bible. And the truth in the Bible, I think the problem with religion and the Bible and these ancient texts is actually our sometimes incorrect interpretations of what's there, or our assumptions about what's there. Because I was blown away reading this book about quantum physics and the creation and evolution of our solar system, our universe, our galaxy. I was blown away to see how many references there are to the truth in these texts, not only the Bible, but the Mahabharata. Really, really interesting. And I loved the discussion about Jesus. I've had two occasions on which I've seen Jesus manifest.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, incredible. And, you know, Jesus is a being who was fully functioning. In other words, he had done so much spiritual purification that he became a highly evolved spiritual being. And if you think of the chakra system, his chakras were all fully open. He purified himself such that he was fully functioning. And when we become fully functioning, we're more connected to God, to the source. And that only occurs over eons and eons of time through spiritual purification.
No, I just wanted to say you had a vision. What, briefly tell us what that was. I mean, a vision dream.
Well, it wasn't a vision so much. I've seen him twice, but I was in Hawaii and I was in a really large meditation. There was a huge group of people, probably about 400 people, in a meditation. And I found the energy in Hawaii really purging, and it brought up all the feelings of my past relationship with my partner, Antonio. And I think it was about a year after I'd left the UK and a year after our separation, but I was still healing. And I felt overwhelmed during this meditation. I had my eyes closed, but I just felt so overwhelmed. And I started to cry, but I was crying in a really obvious way, and I could sense that people were noticing that I was really sobbing heavily. And I just said, "Oh God, please help me stop this sobbing. This is embarrassing." And I opened my eyes, and Jesus was standing there, and at a distance.
Was he cool?
He was really cool. It was really funny. You remember the strangest things, but I remember being just so struck by his skin. The skin on his face was so clear. It was just so clear. It was unbelievable. I was fascinated by it. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But I was just fascinated by
I also had a vision, and it was a dream, and he was the greatest guy. I mean, came into my bedroom, I was a child, right? And he was so nice to children, you know, but I've had visions about so many people, but he was the nice one. I also, you know, I just wanted to add, I'm really sorry about the loss of Nelson Mandela. And I had a dream about him too, and he was an incredibly nice man. Mm-hmm. And I think it was on a similar spiritual level. But that's what people that have suffer for people end up being, very patient. They end up being extremely beautiful people.
Yeah, it's pure. It's pure. And I remember when I think of Jesus and I think of how pure his skin looked, I think, well, you know, when we're that pure, we'll have amazing skin. But to make you laugh, I did interact with him telepathically.
Yes.
And he was just smiling and smiling and smiling.
I know, my guy was too. I mean, they're just... Yeah. When Jesus appears, he's cool. And I would say that would be probably a really good way to practice in visions, is maybe to, with your beliefs, is to believe those dreams that you have. And one of the things I wanted to say before I go on to, you know, Steve, is that Justinian had a vision in the Byzantine history to make an attack, and his entire army followed him, and it actually ended up being a good decision. So not saying that, you know, for warmongering necessarily, but these were how decisions were made then. This was how law was made in those days. It was like your visions, you know? Can you imagine that?
It's wonderful.
It's amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, great. Then I think we won't confuse anybody and bring Steve in, or shall we? No, let's switch it up and bring Steve in just to confuse him.
Hey, I'm proud to have my name confused Steven, with Steve, I mean, any day.
See, I just did it. How are you? Thank you for bringing in your knowledge. You have quite the historical information on us on this too. Go ahead.
Well, I come from a very similar background as Kevin. I was raised as a Protestant Christian, and still, for all intents and purposes, consider myself to be a Protestant Christian. And, you know, it's so interesting the parallels one can draw between Protestant Christianity and certain versions of Islam. And just like Islam had a golden age at one point where it produced a lot of the traditions in modern occultism, you know, a lot of the occult traditions that we have today come from the ancient Arab world, but now the pendulum has swung back the other way, and we see a lot of extremism. But, you know, just like Christians have Jesus as our Messiah that we follow and whom we believe is going to return again, there's a branch of Islam, the Shiites. And Iran, for example, is comprised entirely of Shiite Muslims. And these Muslims also have a redeemer figure, the 12th Imam, whom they believe is going to come back. And so in that sense, you know, Christianity and Islam are very, very similar in the sense that there is space for this redeemer figure to come in. And at times they can both be equally intolerable of those in our profession. You know, and there's a natural enmity, I think, in the tradition that at the same time gave birth to a lot of the occult knowledge that we have today. So that's pretty interesting about
Well,
it.
One of the things that we want to do is bring in different speakers who can maybe knit together some of the historical significances and how these religions did work together, because a lot of them were connected. And they
were guys,
same origins.
You will love this guest that I'm lining up, yeah. Dr. Maria Kumar, because she is so smart and she's researched all the ancient texts and history and she brings it all together. I think that we're going to need more than one show with her because she's got so much to share. So I think we're going down a really interesting, Spirit of leading us down an interesting path here where we're looking more at the history and pulling things together.
Phenomenal.
To improve our understanding. It is.
Well, it's quite rich. If you look at this from a linguistic perspective, all of our foundational texts, would be it the Hebrew scriptures, the New Testament, or even the Quran, you know, we all fall under the umbrella of religions that have come from Judaism. So all of our foundational texts are in languages that can do very interesting things when you, I hate to say play around with them, but they certainly support a lot of pliability. And this is also the thing that's dangerous about this Semitic tradition of religion, in the sense that there are so many different balkanized groups that speak from a position of rigid authority, and yet the underlying text itself is incredibly pliable. Once you take away certain linguistic props and scaffolding, once you take that away, then a single word in the original text can have a few dozen different meanings.
That's correct. And you know, that brings up a very good point as to the original language of the Bible. Would not have been in Roman or in Greek.
No.
It would have been in
Pagan.
Hi, Maureen. Okay, here we have Maureen. We want to bring her in, too. But just finish off, Steve. What was the original text in?
Oh, the original, it was a mishmash of languages. The original Bible was written first in Hebrew, then it was lost for a long time, and then when it was refound, it was translated into Aramaic, and then finally Greek, and then Latin, etc. And then finally we get to the King James Version, which is way down the line of translations. And there were essential things that were lost along each step in the path.
You know, that's where the Baptist religion is kind of interesting, because they're trying to maintain that absolute pure set. And, you know, so that I did not know that prior to a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they're going to have to reconcile that if they wanted to step forward into the modern world in a significant way.
Apply their teachings. Well, you know, and their studies, because it's actually fascinating to us that really, you know, need some verification of why we maybe don't believe, and it would actually change your mind on some of the ideas that are espoused, that are probably, you know, propaganda in nature, but as in all marketing.
Well, there are some very cunning explanations for these philosophical problems. The difficulty is in finding someone who is not going to be so emotionally wound up that they can let, you know, that they're prevented from laying out these philosophical responses to these problems, you know, in a meaningful way. Most of the time they get so wound up emotionally that, you know, that they don't get to that part. And so both people walk away, you know, none the wiser from the encounter.
Well, there's a remedy. There's
Maureen, come on through. No, Maureen is coming in right now. And I want to, before you get started, I just want to send through the call-in number, and then we can chat for a bit. Sorry, you know, I have to do this. Our number here is 724-444-4851, and that's where you can call in. Again, it's 724-444-4851 to get your free reading. Go ahead, Maureen.
And please wait till after around the 9:16 Eastern time to call in.
You're dialing feverishly right now.
Yeah, I bet, but you won't get through right now. So anyway, what I would like to say is that because of what I was raised, you know, Catholic, and my mother was Jewish, but she was converted to Catholicism. She married my father. The thing of it is, the way I look at it is this. It's like there is no, from all the traditional religions, we all have these these parents, you know, raising their children. And when I went back to college, adult reentry, when I was 33, they had the best thing I'd ever seen ever to help people get it together. Because I think the word belief and belief is just all, I just don't conform to that. It all comes down to, it is what it is. All I know is what I know. And I did see when I was in college at 33 that they offered a religious studies. And I thought, and for years I would have really thought that they would have made it a general requirement. What I noticed was when we'd go, and a lot of these people were a lot younger than me, that they would ask these people to, for their, what do you call it, finals or whatever, to for their term paper to do, and ask if they can go into certain other religions and see why they get what they get, what makes them transcend into their religions. Because you'd have a lot of the 18, 19-year-olds from their parents, and they would be judging everybody. Everybody's judging everybody too much. And what I noticed for myself is I picked one because I'd already been a practicing Buddhist. I was a Catholic, you know, went to Catholic school. The bottom line is what happened was these people were able to go in, ask permission for me. So I went to a Presbyterian of all the ones. I'd never had any clue what that was about. And it was the most enlightening experience. I noticed more and more people had more tolerance against these so-called what other people believed, and they were judging everybody. It was just out of whack. And it all comes down to this. You know, I'm a practicing everything, and I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know, and I know that it's okay to be it's okay. All I know about, we were created in his image. I call him. I have no problem saying God. I used to when I was, you know, my 30s, 40s. But it is about people judging everybody else and what makes them feel good about each religion. So
that's the most successful part of human survival, is that they keep each other in check. Yet it has to, you know, end on the point of brutality. And that wouldn't just go for religion. Nowadays, our new religion really has gone into the media. So the media religion is really, again, unchecked completely and utterly.
No, it's the parents passing it on to their kids, judging everybody else's religion when they don't have a clue what it's about.
Right. And they're taking that into mainstream media. All I'm saying is that those principles could be applied to all kinds of levels of thinking in society. And yet we really worship Hollywood and media and our own image. And I think that we've pretty much lost that, you know, that ability to see beyond ourselves. And that is just a reminder, you know. But
it's just sad. Judging
people.
But,
you know, you're one of those people who was around 30 years ago with the advent in the 70s, which I respect you for, Maureen. You know, Maureen has a lot of background from a long time ago. She was one of the original people who would have been putting together psychic lessons in the 70s and 80s. Well done, Maureen. This is way before any of it got really hot online, before everybody had a website, and before everybody had a radio show. You were doing it, you know?
Well, I wasn't actually until I 33 years old. I got the
pitch. But that was still like a considerable career that you've had. You've had a career of at least 20 years, though,
so. Or more.
More. See, that's what I mean.
But the thing of it is, I was still. It wasn't like I was Catholic or I was anything else. I appreciated everybody else's way of viewing things, where I would not judge them, because I got my eye opened to what was going on.
Yes.
We all have to be okay about each other, as long
as
you
know. I mean, I remember I was going to be going to hell until I was baptized. We did an emergency baptism.
Yeah,
for
things
me.
Exactly. Things.
You
are
know
like
what
that.
I mean? Like, I mean, but then if I'd known that, not that it really mattered, but I mean, at the same time, you know, one was sort of forced into it, and it would have been an insincere baptism, which is a shame, I think, for people that want to actually get into a spiritual form, is to have a sincere introduction and not be forced into it. And so, you know, that's that type of thing, and I think that's just the nature of civilization and whatnot. But great, great show. Thank you for your opinion, Maureen. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Stephen. And I believe we have a caller for Stephen coming in right now. Is that correct?
Yes, from South Carolina. Hello, who am I speaking with in South Carolina?
This is Victoria.
Hello, Victoria. How may I help you tonight?
Hey, just trying to get some insight and some direction on where my career is going. I've been out of my field for about a year now, and I'm looking to get back into it, but I just seem to be running up on dead ends.
Okay. Well, let's see what's going on with the career, and then maybe we can go from there, okay? One second while
okay.
I pick up where your career is going. Definitely the next 2 months seem to be prone to fluctuation. I'm looking at Trump number 18, the moon, and the moon is all about change. So the next 4 to 8 weeks, as far as your career concerned, isn't likely to be very stable the way things are going right now, you see, which is probably going to be kind of bad news if you're hoping for more stability, which would be natural. But the stability actually isn't going to be coming for another... probably for another 4 months or so. So what I'm seeing right now, as far as your career is concerned, you were going to want to just be as conservative as possible, especially, you know, finance, with your finances and with, you know, any career related maneuvers. You want to be conservative because there are probably going to be problems for the next 4 to 8 weeks at least. Mm-hmm. However, I do see that the trend is going for increased stability. The Four of Scepters. Now, the Scepters are the fire element. The fire element deals with your authority in this world, your power, your ability to influence other people. And, you know, I don't really have to go into much detail as to how that can be applied to your career. So your authority in your career, that's going to become more stable. And this is going to be, again, probably 8 weeks or so from now. I would say about 2 months from now, as we're getting into 2014 for good, you know, good and proper, January, February-ish. Up until then, things, you know, I would expect things to continue to be up in the air, do you see?
Okay.
Are you with me so far, Victoria?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The main thing to take away from all of this is that, number one, the next 4 to 8 weeks are still going to be challenging for you. I would expect Murphy's Law to be in place. Things that can go wrong will go wrong. And then B, as we get beyond the 60-day mark from now, things are going to actually become more stable. So your career is going to be more where you want it to be. You're going to have more of the job that you want and also recognition that you want from that.
Okay.
So,
okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Victoria, thank you for calling us. Happy holidays, and come visit us at psychicaccess.com, okay?
Thank you. Take care.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Stephen. And
sure.
So we have a caller from South Carolina for Maureen. Maureen?
Yeah, hi. Hello, South Carolina.
Hey, hello. Maureen. How are you?
Fine. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tiana. And hey, everyone else. How are you guys?
They'll say fine. I said they're fine. They probably didn't want to cut into
it's the cold.
There. Carmen got it. So what can I help you with?
Hey, well, I'm actually calling to get some feedback or an update on my career as well. I am definitely still in standstill mode. About 4 to 6 weeks has probably already passed. And I've applied for some positions, some that I think could be promising, like career-wise, but I haven't landed anything yet for the most part. So I just want to find out what my outlook on my career, what do you see happening,
okay,
or what direction should I be going into? I know it's illegal, but I need, you know,
no.
I guess an insight.
It's not illegal. Did you say you know it's illegal? Did you just say that for...
Yeah, I have a paralegal degree, and
right.
I know that I want to do law or law, you know, something along the lines of that. And I've applied for like a government position. Don't know, you know, if it's going to land me where I need to be, but it seemed promising from what I could tell.
No, you know what? This is really interesting, because what I'm getting is this. It looks like you're actually, for you right now, it's a really great time for you, because it appears to me, it feels like it's like you've just gone through it's been very liberating, this even though you haven't yet, you know, landed where you wanted to be. Is that the best word? You know, are where you need to be right now at this time frame. But I do feel that you've made a really good choice in the direction you're heading on where you've been, particularly maybe choosing where you want to apply. How many places have you, has it been four? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I am in customer service now and I actually decorate cakes, but I know that my mind, you know, I don't know, I'm a little bit more broadened with what I think I have to offer. So I've been applying to a couple of places that I can see longevity in, career, like financial stability, you know, things like that, linked to my law degree, more or less.
Right. And so what I'm asking you is, how many of you applied towards your law degree? Has it been?
Several.
Several. Okay, so three. Yeah. Okay, several means three.
Four.
Okay,
yeah,
what I'm getting is this. The timing right now or within the next few, I'm going to say 4 to 5 weeks, and I could be off on my timing. I do get you may definitely be offered, but I want to tell you, offered with this, and I see a man, father figure. Well, he looks father figure. People are my age. He looks like he's in his 50s. And
okay.
He appears like he would have had a good money cash flow going where his, you know, place is. This has to do with your law degree, but there's something happening, and I feel that if you took this one, this first one, I feel that will be offered. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's up to you, but I'm encouraging you to be very careful of not going in that direction or finding out a little bit more about that place, because what I see is that it could bring, you could be walking into a lot of commotion going on. Did you follow me at this area? Even though it appears wonderful, what I'm getting is that after that, I see, that's why I asked you how many, and I see the number two would be the second one that you may have applied, even if you have had no response. But the timing, like right now, like I said, the next, what did I just say? Well, you can hear this again. I don't like to guess. 4 to 5 weeks.
Maybe.
The timing isn't really good about being able to, you know, it could very well be because it's the holidays. You know, a lot of people wait till after the holidays to bring someone in.
Right.
And I think it's fantastic, but I absolutely feel that you are heading towards a direction, but it'll be the second one. It'll be the second one, and that's the one that may not appear by all, you know, appearances that would be the most ideal, but it would be. Now, if you chose to go the other direction, the first one I see offered within the 4 to 5 week period, well, I do feel that it would, by appearances, look great, but you'd go in there and there may be some havoc that you would not, the energy would be stressful, and I feel that it'd be short-lived. It's still not such a negative thing, but I do feel the second offer will be coming to you after the first of the year, and I feel that, I'm not saying you won't work at, you could work at the other place for a while, but the February 1st or the first week of February, I feel a really good timing for you in this. Really, and it's right about the time we're going to feel a little bit unhappy for a moment, but don't worry. I see you definitely getting, I see you heading a great direction, and you have control of the direction, and you're in control of your life and where you want to be. Definitely. I do see you getting into the legal aspect. Just be really aware of what things by appearances. Look beyond appearances sometimes about what's going on or, I don't know, going on a trial basis.
For the most part.
Yeah. You're heading in a great place. You're really heading in, I see you heading, reaching your goal, and you will be successful in every way within yourself and everything.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I definitely am looking forward to it. I'm just wondering if I'm looking in the right location. I'm still in my state. Maybe I should branch off somewhere. I don't know.
No, I don't feel you should. The reason why is because you already made the wrong decision before not to pursue this. That's what I'm seeing. So definitely, no. You have a lot to look forward to. No way. Just stay on course.
Okay.
Definitely. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Maureen. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Maureen. It is my turn. I believe I have somebody from Florida, one of my favorite states. Hello. Hi, Florida. Person from Florida.
Hi, this is Stephanie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Stephanie. How are you tonight? How are you? How's the weather down there? Is it warm?
It is warm. Yes, it is.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. We're so jealous. So, you're, I think, new to me, so thank you for calling in. And Stephanie, what can I do for you?
Yes, what I would like to know is this. John, which, you know, Maureen knows the story more, but it's okay. He finally answered to my message that I wish him happy birthday Sunday, and I wonder if you still see him in my life, because, like I say, he disappeared for 3 months, and I don't know if he tried to reach out to reconnect, or he was just impressed of me remember his birthday.
No, I mean, I think for now, because we like to keep our birthdays under wraps when we're on air for privacy reasons, I just wanted to make sure that I just get his name from you and then I can start from there.
Yeah, John.
Okay, that's so simple. I'm not going to forget that. Okay, so let's have a look here and see where he's at with you. So this is perfect. This is my specialty.
Okay.
Tends to self-isolate and then does the same with you. And I think that, you know, his birthday's coming up probably soon. I mean, even though I'm assuming it's this month.
Yeah. No, his birthday was Sunday. What I'm saying is I send him a message and he reached out and told me, thank you for reminding my birthday. And his excuse was that he had a lot of things to do, and that's why he disappeared for 3 months.
Okay, well, it says here he isolated. And then he isolated you, and it does say here he had a contract that he needed to work on, and it was disappointing and possibly a failure. So at the end of all of his hard work, that he lost a bit of money or something like that. And so, you know, his intent was pretty much true with what you say. He seems to add in there that he was isolating. So he may have had also mood in there, but that's like irrespective of, you know, why people do things. I mean, under pressure, they isolate. And he was being sincere with you. But now I'm going to look more at his future motivations. How's that? Okay.
Yes.
Because that will give
please.
Me a good idea as to where he's at. Because I could see from his past that, you know, he was making certain excuses, possibly. But I'm looking at this from the perspective of how he's feeling now. You know, he's anxious and he's uncertain. He probably should have given you more attention. You're a good friend. He has let some of his friends go. He's really aware of that. And he felt like he didn't give you a good turn, or at least he didn't do you in spirit what he felt you would do for him in kind. And in a way, there's some disappointment in this feeling. It's kind of sort of a sense of a letdown. Deflation, a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. So there's still a lot of depression there. And it's possible you need to reach, not reach out, but be receptive to him, because I don't think that he wants too much focus on his failures right now, but he probably still wants some kind of acknowledgement that he didn't do this. It didn't do you wrong. Now, you know, it says here there was such a crisis when you were together. He lost a tremendous amount that he feels to some extent that he should have worked harder on this relationship. So there's a lot in here that says that his intention is genuine. And in the future, he's expecting you to be frustrated with him for his lack of attention. But you know what that betrays, or what that shows, is that in fact he was probably, he still needs your acknowledgement and still needs your respect in a sense, and feels like he would like to achieve that. Now I'm trying to figure out here, hopefully not a one-night stand, if you know what I mean, or a friends with benefits, but I think essentially he would like to reconnect with you physically, you know, one more time, and I would say that would be maybe it, because I don't know if he's capable of a long extended relationship with the history of your relationship, but yet he's a sweet nature and he really intends to do so. So if you're up for a kind of just a bit of a reconnection romance without too many strings attached and without too much import, then this is a guy for you. He's going to need your emotional support and your input, and in a way it would just be a guiding hand, but probably is there's a slight part of him that's a little bit sly, that does have other girlfriends, and so I feel like I wouldn't overextend myself. I would respond to him, and he's mm-hmm. trying to recreate a relationship with you, yet he has no real plan about that relationship just yet. So I'm thinking here, okay, this is nice. I mean, you've got somebody here that's thinking of you fondly. You know, in my books, what I certainly always see with people is that they love to reach back into their past and recreate the past, but then the past is now the present, so you're looking at a different scenario, two different people, and to some extent, they always get disappointed. So just keep a very light attention and light hand on him as well, because he's coming in much more intensely. And then my last point before I bring on our next client is his feeling. He really, really did love your friendship. He really did care for you utmost, and that was a very genuine feeling when he was with you. And I mean that. You've got here the Ace of Cups, you know, coming up next to the Moon, which is reversed in this case. The Ace of Cups is pure spiritual love, and the Moon, reversal, means enlightenment, and probably not a sense of disillusionment, but probably a release of old emotions and a realization as to what the potential could have been, because it comes up next to the Magician, Stephanie, and that means that he regrets. And you know, he still watches you on Facebook, so why don't you let this kind of... such a great stalker tool, that, I have to say. But try not to fixate too much on that, because everybody's on and you can never tell. But, you know, he's still curious about you. So you will have a nice relationship with him in the future. And keep it light. And keep it light until he brings it deeper. And then you shall see. But it's pretty genuine. Okay, Stephanie?
Okay, thank you so much.
Lovely meeting you. Great.
Thank you. Have a good night, and thank you again.
Thanks for attending. Yes. Okay, so we're looking for our next caller. And yes, what is your name? And then this is for Stephen, correct?
Yes, I believe I have a caller from Georgia. Who am I speaking with in Georgia?
Monique. I'm calling from Georgia, Monique.
Hello, Monique. How may I help you this evening?
I was calling in the reading on my love life. I was kind of wondering... if it's certain someone from my past when it's committed to my life. So I was interested in someone in my past, or if when he returned, and what we've been in that relationship, and then about the future and time in the future. What is he like? Do he want to be with me? And do he think of me?
Yes. Well, I do. You definitely will have encounters from a gentleman from your past. I believe we actually have touched upon this topic before, and you do have some romance that is going to be coming to greet you. You know, it might not come as rapidly as you would like. That's the thing about love; it doesn't come as fast as we'd like, but it's definitely on its way to you. Okay. Monique, and this is what I'm seeing here, loud and clear, very loud and clear. It's a strong connection I'm getting on this one. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, and it'll happen pretty soon, probably shortly after the holidays. So all you have to do is just batten down the hatches and just be patient until it gets here. Okay, Monique, it's coming, Neek.
Were I meeting somewhere? Go somewhere, and up and soon I see him somewhere from my desk.
Oh, no, yeah, he's going to be coming through your family, so you're going to see him in the house of a friend or a family member, something like that, okay? And it's probably going to be at a holiday party, okay, Nick? But it's going to be happening very soon for you.
Mm.
Okay?
I see this pretty strong. It's a female in the picture.
Oh, yes, it's going to... It's on its way. It'll more than likely be at a holiday party of some sort that you'll run into him. Okay, Monique?
Yeah, but it's a female. So then he has a female that he's around. So what's going to happen to her?
That's not clear right now, unfortunately.
If a female in the picture, then what's going to happen then?
Yeah, that's going to complicate matters quite a bit, Monique, and unfortunately it's too early to see how she's going to impact the situation over the long haul. Do you see? It's you know, she's going to have a lot of influence over your dealings with him, though. So you're just going to have to you do the best that you can with her, okay? I don't see it as really
bumping.
Yeah, it's not going to be bumping heads so much, Monique, but she could be, you know, there could certainly be argument. So you want to be careful, okay?
Okay, that's what I'm afraid of.
Well, don't worry. You'll be fine. It's nothing that's going to disrupt your life too much, okay? So just try not to worry about it. That's the main thing, okay?
Okay.
You're going to be fine, all right? So you just take good care of yourself. Everything's going to work out fine for you, Monique. That's the main thing to remember, okay?
We have a caller. Monique, I hate to cut you off. Thank you, Monique, for coming back in. I'm glad you're here. We missed you last week. And this is a call for Maureen from Virginia.
Thank you. Hello, Virginia State.
Hello.
Hi. May I ask whom I'm speaking to?
My name is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. And what can I help you with?
Mine is a love question as well. I'd like to know if a gentleman that I'm very interested in, if the relationship is going anywhere, someone from my past as well.
Okay, so you want to, what I'm hearing you say is someone from your past is loyal? Is it someone that you...
Well, I have some sweetheart, yes. And we reconnected. I want to know if we'll go anywhere.
Okay, so you're reconnecting with somebody from your past is what I'm kind of having a hard time. The phone is a little bit... giving me feedback.
Yeah.
So I feel a following. Okay, got it. Okay, well, let me ask you this. It does appear... You know what? I do feel that there was completion with... If this was someone from your past, there's a completion of whatever was going on with the negative energy or the vibration going on with what you may be recalling, because what I'm seeing is that there was some legal issue surrounding that individual that may have poured into the situation that created havoc, and now you reconnect. You are reconnecting. So what I'm seeing here is I do feel that you have the strength available to do this. I'm also getting that there's going to be a lot of things going on, and this is very difficult to deal with, but because there's a lot of past stuff happening that you each individually are going through that comes with, you know, baggage and where fears that we get when we get connected or reconnected, that I see a little bit of a dwelling in it. So if somebody's dwelling in the regrets or the, you know, guilt or whatever from the past, this is not only your past relationship when you two had one, but even from before you two ever met, with other baggage and people and relationships, it's going to be difficult. So I'm encouraging you. You two have a very strong bond. I can see that also. I want to say that. And also, I am feeling that you have a very psychic connection, you know, not a normal via communication. But my feeling is when you... I do see reconnecting, but I also feel that it could be a win-win, or it could be really kind of a difficult situation for you. So my encouraging you, I'm not talking to him, but encouraging you to perhaps be able to be in the now with him. And it's, like I said, it'll be very difficult. But if you can be, I do feel that there's so much opportunity and potential for you to have a new agreement, reconnect with not a lot of past stuff. There's some anger coming from somewhere else, from somebody else coming at you with telling you that this is not a good thing, someone judging this whole situation. Looks like a guy friend of some sort. I'm mad about, you know, people aren't supportive. Is that true?
Well, I have an ex, but he doesn't. Now, he probably feels that there's someone around, but I don't discuss with him what's going on, but he's been trying to reconnect with me for the wrong reasons. Not love, but just I need you, and I don't want that.
Good. Make sure, because I do see him flying into the picture, and he could just be some interference. And he has the ability to be a little raging, like rage, anger. I'd stay clear of him if he comes popping in. It's none of his business about what you're doing.
Yeah,
I honestly
just
feel
just
that...
Just to say it real quickly, the one that I asked you about beginning the reconnection, we were 15 when we dated, and we live in two different states. So that could be a part of the difficulty as well, picking up
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I see that you have the strength available to reconnect with this person. I find it to be very positive. Okay. It can be very positive. Could also, but like I said, I do feel that it's a good time. The timing before with you, it's just a good timing. The timing is now. You're searching for a deeper meaning. I say give it a go. It looks very positive. Okay?
Lovely. Well, okay. Now, I love good readings, Maureen. Lucky you got a good one.
Well, what do you mean, luckily I got it? They're all good. They're all good.
No, it's always good to give good outcomes.
No, well, no, I just, it's her reading. She owns it, so it's not my outcome.
Yes.
Anyway, I hope I helped you. I hope I helped you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, be open and embrace this and be fearless.
Okay. It's real slow going right now. That's why I was kind of asking, because we've seen each other about four times this year, but now it's just like really nothing going. So that's why I was kind of wondering if it was going anywhere.
Yeah, I do feel that there's good opportunity for this. I would be open to this. Be fearless and jump into and be open to this, definitely.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a good
evening.
You're
welcome. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Lovely. Thank you, Maureen. I love happy readings because, you know, the job ones are always so difficult, you know, sometimes. So thank you. And you have a very positive way of delivering it, which is great. And so I have a caller from Louisiana. Hello. This is a person from Louisiana.
Hello. My name is Kelly from Louisiana.
Hi. What's your name? I didn't catch you there.
Kelly.
Oh, hi, Kelly. Nice to meet you. So, thank you for coming our way. What can I do for you tonight?
I was just really wanting to know, like, do you see anyone new coming into my life? I just got out of a bad relationship, and, like, he still texts me sometimes on and off. So, I was wondering, like, do you see anyone new coming into my life?
Sure. You know, I want to let you know that I might get a little bit of an overlap, just in terms of the way I channel, of your old relationship, and I'll try to get out of his aura and reconnect with somebody new, okay? So one moment. Okay. Yeah. You know, your tower comes up card at first in the reading, which is actually, you know, you're still leaving your ex, and or your ex-to-be, and says here that is an incomplete process. Right now, that still is incomplete. And so it's just detailing exactly sort of what you said you were going through. But the tower card is a little bit worrying because it does say that it's an acute crisis. And so that's an extreme crisis. You have to, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're trying to focus on that, on the future. And it says here, I mean, he may, I don't know if he has any, it says here possibly problems with deception, possibly problems with self-indulgence, or an addiction, or a self-indulgent sort of narcissistic, egotistical nature. So I'm bringing you back out of that, and I just want to say this is the message to help you understand that I'm getting a very sharp energy from your current boyfriend. It's kind of interfering in the reading. It might be drawing your attention right back to the process of leaving. But I'm going to go on, and it says here, yes, you will get into a new relationship. It does say here, it forms out of uncertainty. And then it does sort of jump back. I just want to let you know I'm getting sort of a jump back into your ex-boyfriend again, and possibly a question that you may have about some people that he's talking to or someone he's talking to. And there's all these uncertainties.
I kind of found out that he was cheating on me, so like I was like, okay, I'm ready to move on.
Right, and it does say here, you know, with the moon next to the Queen of Cups, it does say here another woman in clandestine or in surreptitious circumstances. So I would feel like, you know, that's a huge anxiety, and it may not be true. I may not be confirming it, but I'm reading your thoughts. And it does say here, look, the trust of that is so difficult to rebuild, and if you found out for sure, then it says here, for the most, you've got to know this is going to take a little bit of time to dissolve, and then it says that it will end, and then he's going to keep calling you. So there's a long period, and there's usually a 2-year shadow period with my clients to break up. I find that from the moment of such grievous news, it takes them, that such a long time, you know. Then it does say here that for the most part, let's see here. There's some men coming through for your friendship, a new man, through friends. But we're looking at this reading going out maybe possibly a few months to a year in the future. But you do leave this man, so you have the strength to, and a lot of people don't. So you've got to really pat yourself on the back. And it just feels to me like this relationship has a lot of closure that still needs to be attained. Mm-hmm. So this man really loves you, and that's the problem. But you know what? Evil and bad people can love too. So that's like
no,
not
it's the
right
problem. Of it. Like he still tries to communicate with me. I don't understand. Like why would you want to do that? And you were cheating on me.
Right. Yeah. So in any event, it's like why he was doing that. Well, he felt like, and this is no offense to you, that he was sort of being frozen out of the relationship from something he did wrong that he felt he did right. And but then mm-hmm. that's a breakdown into this sort of laziness in terms of, you know, not necessarily being assertive. And it's really hard for people to be assertive, all people, to be assertive and say, mm-hmm. I was wrong and, you know, I lied to you. And I think that that's the hardest thing. And I think, in a sense, this is he's going to explore that with you. He's going to be telling you all about why he did that. And you have, you must definitely call us, you know, one of us, if you want, on your ongoing journey through this. Because in a way, it just seems to me like you've got this, your boyfriend is still going to really implore to have you back. And, you know, that's part of the hard-won fight, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are faithful, easily so. And some, like an addiction, they lapse back into, you know, ego and needing attention, you know, not wanting to be rejected. And I think that this is the man you have. But now it says here, by the way, you do have, unless he is in law, or unless he is in any kind of other field, that would mean medicine or science or computers, there's the man that I see is coming up is of an air sign. And I just want you to see here that this air sign energy that you're going to have is a very clear and logical man that is going to be arriving into your life at some point. And I think that, just so you know, there is some light. And so thank you very much. I want you to try and think about the fact that you have a long way working this through your current boyfriend, and that you're not alone in this, and that it's certainly not the most grievous like problem or error that people do, but it's very, very difficult to work through. And what I'm saying is it's common, but it's not uncommon. Everybody has their own way of working through it. So please feel free to call through. And if you don't, you know, you'll be okay. And at least he loves you. At least he's not discounting you. And
I'll be sure to call you guys back, though, if I have any more questions.
Well, for sure, yeah. You can try me up till about, I think, 10 or 11 tonight. And my name is Carmen Miro. Carmen on there. You can see my little icon. It was really nice meeting you, hey?
You work through this.
Carmen. It's okay, you know?
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. You know, we have more people that are online or wanting to come in. Maybe you can wait, because if you're on the line, please stay here. We'll get to you tonight. We're just going to put you through to Stephen. That's our next caller. Please come through. This is a call for Stephen. Stephen?
Yes, thank you very much, Carmen. Who am I speaking with in Missouri tonight?
Christina.
Hi, Christina. How may I help you?
Hello, I want to know about this guy named Julius. I'm calling just to see how he feels about me.
Okay, let's see how Julius feels about you. One second while I pick up on Julius, okay? How does Julius feel about Christina? I definitely see that he's interested in you intellectually. And, you know, frankly, Christina, I don't see much in the way of emotions that are there, so it's not a huge emotional attachment right now. But the friendship that I do see, the good feelings that I do see, they are wrapped up again, and you stimulate him more intellectually than anything else. So, you know, what I do, I see that he wants to expand the foundation of friendship. That's what he wants right now. So he's pretty much of the attitude where, you know, well, love is friendship set on fire. You see what I'm saying? So he's more concerned with, you know, establishing a friendship with you right now. That's what I'm, the overwhelming sensation that I'm getting from Julius right now. You follow me, Christina? You know, there's just not a whole bunch there that's in the way of emotional. I'm longing quite yet. I'm not saying that there won't be that eventually, but right now, nah. I think most of his thoughts about you, they mainly revolve around intellectual things, writing, money, even or even making money or things of that sort. That's for some reason what I'm getting an overwhelming feeling that is what's motivating him right now. It's more money. Do you see what I'm saying, Christina?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So and that's what I see as far as his actions are concerned. The hangman reversed. So what that configuration is all about is getting compensated for past sacrifices. And so that's what he wants to do. Now, and again, you know, we're thinking about relationships here. So it's almost as if he's paid a certain price in his past relationships, and now going forward in all of his future relationships, he's going to get compensated somehow. You know what I mean? I get that dynamic very clearly with Julius as well. So this is a man who's wanting to be in control of his emotional, you know, of any sort of emotional extravagance. Very controlled sort of thing. So about the best I can advise you with Julius is that it's going to take some patience. He could turn into a project, Christina. You see?
Okay,
so if you're going to continue with Julius, you're going to have a little patience, but your patience will be rewarded, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Christina. Have a great night.
You too, please.
Yes, ma'am, bye-bye.
Well, thank you. That's a string again of another positive outcome. I think that's wonderful. We're all getting some very great answers to some questions tonight. Thank you, Stephen. That's great reading.
Sure, thank you.
So, Maureen, you're up. You've got a call from Massachusetts.
Hello, Massachusetts. Hello.
Hi, Maureen. Hi, this is Ellen. We've spoken before. Thanks for taking
my
call.
Sure. What can I help you with?
I have a question about, I'm fortunate, I do have a job, but I'm also trying to start my own small business, maybe big business. But my boss is, something's going on, and it's just been very strange. And I was just wondering if you have any insight on that.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the business is maybe going under.
I'm sorry. Did you say? You know, what I am seeing, there is something interesting. It's like whereas one person, I do see, it looks like a male energy that appears like, you know, at one time he was really wonderful on the, you know, down to earth and everything else, but it does appear like is there any partner with him?
Yeah, it's a husband and wife team.
Okay, then they're having big time issues with themselves, and that's what the issue is. And it's over, you know, it's like their energy is over. It's not towards you personally, but I feel it's only going to be temporary, but there is some really negative judgment stuff going on. Do they work so closely to you around the environment? Are you connected with them on a basis of, as a couple, do you interact with them, go to them, meetings of the minds and your idea, you know, stuff like that?
Well, do you mean, do I talk to both of them? I don't work in the office. But we all of us have to work with both of them, and the wife has gotten more involved lately, and it just seems that things have taken a turn for the worse.
It's very uncomfortable. I can see that, you know, but I do feel it's because of their personal, and you know, I hope that's not the case, but what I am getting, it's because of their personal goings on in their own personal relationship. that it's now taking into the, you know, the environment or having a problem within the where you're at, affecting people like yourself. And also, I do feel that it feels like they're almost like it's not a supportive feeling. There's not a supportive collaboration. Is that Carmen out there? I didn't know you there. Yeah, it's not like there's a feeling of a team. And the thing of it is, I am seeing though. Are you planning a short trip coming up?
Maybe.
Well, it looks very positive, and it may be about. I don't know if you do this for any short travel for. It's like a getaway to do something or to get away, but it may be associated. It's coming at a. It's like I get within the next 4 weeks, and it looks like an ideal time to be able to get away. And I feel that that's all it will need to take. And I do feel it's like I see a recharging, or the battery's been recharged around the work, and it may be that. These people are not, you can't control anybody. I am just getting the husband, and it's, you know, the male energy, and that's the partner energy is just the issue at hand. Unfortunately, I don't feel it's going to last much longer. I think it's I do get it's temporary. And I also feel that, but there's a lot of people that aren't happy around this. I get that. There's some commotion. I do feel that it's not anything you're doing wrong or anything else, but it's just like you can't fuse together with this. You can't connect. But other people, it's like the group, and it's really intense. I feel that you're going to thrive through this. But at the same time, I feel that it will be after the first of the year, things will start feeling much more, there'll be much more continuity. And some people I do feel will leave by choice.
Yeah, they have been already.
Yeah, but with you, it's... you know, I do see a real there might be another person, but I do see a real positive authority or type of other business person coming in and I offering you, or maybe you've met through there, but offering you right after the first year opportunity that will be fantastic. It may seem ordinary, but it will be really great. And it may be stemming from where you're at, or maybe a subsidiary or something, maybe, you know, going in that same direction but coming through where you are. I don't see you leaving, and if you don't, I feel it'd be to your best interest not to.
Okay. Yeah, I've been holding on. I'm actually the person that's been there the longest.
I would hold through. Just let it, if you can hang in there, I encourage you to hang in there. Hang in.
Okay.
Yeah. It does seem a little bit very uncomfortable, but hang in.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Really, you're welcome, and I'm glad you called, and thank you, and have a great night.
Yeah, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Now, that was a really good reading. Thank you. That was an unusual story. I have a caller coming in here from Illinois. Hello.
Hello. Hi. This is Denise.
Hi, Denise. Oh, you have a pleasant voice.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. How are you tonight?
Nice to meet you. I am wonderful. I am looking for positive, healthy love, romance, relationship that will be long-term and, you know, and consistent, you know, no cheating, lying, drama, and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Something that's going to be, you know, for my highest good.
Totally. And are you on a schedule right now?
We all want romance like right now, and not in the near future, like 2 or 3, 4 months from now. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like what I see here. Okay, good. 2-3 months is fairly decent, and I'm going to like try and stretch it to sort of to spring in a way. But let me see. Because I think that's like the normal natural mating time, you know. But it doesn't.
I'm talking about right now.
So let me have a look here. Your outcome. Where do you live? It says your quality is really lacking. It would almost seem to me like you're in an area of the city in the metropolis, or in an area of the rural area where there's maybe not necessarily always the right demographic or quality around you. And you've put up, and it does say here, you've done a really good job at trying to sort through a lot of these men. It says here.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's a big job.
I go through a lot of them that come my way.
Yeah. So are you downtown or where are you? I'm just going to ask if that's has a bearing on my reading.
No, not downtown, no. I'm in a big city.
In a big city, okay. It does say here you're coming across some of these, just for some reason, the men that are sorting through for the next 3 to 4 months are still going to be kind of on the same level, almost like kind of a little bit narrow-minded for a big city, if I may say. And so I'm just going to go in here and continue. Lots of interest. Some of them, probably you're more looking at 8 weeks, and I'm going to try and get more timing for you. You meet another one in February, but he's seeing somebody else. Do you want to avoid that one? And it says here, then you're going to get lots of messages or communication. Then they'll stop. And this is probably bringing you into March. And we're looking at March, you're meeting a man that's going to want to have a casual relationship with you. At least it's not going to be just to use you, but he's going to want something that's just specifically quite just light. And so, I see what you're up against. It's like, you know what, it's not you. It's just everybody right now is in the mood just to express. And I feel like this is could be a fortuitous or difficult time for people to date, because a lot of people are changing jobs or they're moving cross country or they're just dissatisfied and, you know, terrified with what's happening in the world. And it makes for an unusual mix. So can you, in a way, keep that in mind when you are sourcing some of these men? Because they seem like anxious energy. And you've got here a lovely man that comes in here, King of Cups. And he has a child. Fortunately, someone does come in. And this is probably about 6, 7...
Someone comes in?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, you still got to do your looking. But 6, 7, 8 months from now, you do have a lovely opportunity. I wouldn't give up, but I wouldn't exhaust myself either. I think to some extent, maybe you just have to keep in mind that some of these people are fragmented right now, and you're looking at another man that comes in around August. So we're looking more at the timelines, let's say, in June, July, August. And that's normal again. That's sort of coming into, you know, that's what people do. And I think that there's going to be 2 substantial relationships that come from that. And so I would like to say, great. And, you know, for all of these guys, you know, all of us are really skilled at being able to interpret any of your dates if you want. And you're always welcome to call in. My name is Carmen. You've met Maureen. We have Stephen. And also all our other psychics here that can just give you updated information. I'm a telepath, just on how a person is. And I think that you've got 7 or 8 months to wait. But if someone else comes along in the meantime, use us if you want to check to see if he's right for you. And, you know, I look forward to getting to know you. Thank you very much for your call. Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great to hear. Stephen, you've got
yes.
a call from Illinois.
Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup, mademoiselle. Illinois, who am I speaking with in Illinois? Good evening. Who am I speaking with in Illinois?
Back in Illinois.
Good.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Who am I talking
Hello?
To? Hi. This is Stephen.
Is it Wayne?
No, this is Stephen. How may I help you?
This is Elaine. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How may I help you this evening?
Well, I'm trying to see if I can get any kind of message or anything concerning the night my brother died. There's a lot of unanswered questions. And I've just been in such a depression since 2007.
Well, tell you what, I've got enough space up here to answer one of your important questions, so why not pick one of the most important questions you got and throw it at me, and let's see what we can get done here tonight.
Pardon?
Why don't you choose one of your most important questions, and let's see what we can do with it, okay?
Well, I just want to know if there's any message from my brother about the night he died.
A message from your brother about the night that he died. Okay, let's see what we have here. Now, I just want to caution you here that I'm not a medium, okay? That I'm not a medium. So I do feel the need to caution you about that. However, what I am picking up from your brother, what I am able to pick up from him about the night that he died is that you were on his mind when he did separate from the earth, that he was worried about you going forward, that he was worried about, you know, his ability not, you know, that he wasn't going to be there to protect you. That's one of the bigger concepts that I'm picking up on, is this whole idea of protection. And so I'm positive here. One thing I want to get across is that he wants to make sure that you're doing everything that you can in your power to protect yourself from those who might want to harm you and things of that nature. So that would be one of his main concerns, that you're protecting yourself and attending to your health the best that you can. And he definitely would be with you strongly. I feel as if he would be a guardian over you.
Yeah, my health has gone downhill since he passed away, because there's so many unanswered questions over it.
Well, he wants you to know that things are going to get better, that you just have to have the patience and the strength to wait for the answers to come to you gradually. What he wants to get across to you is that God, in God's infinite wisdom, does not see fit to give us all the answers to all the questions right at once, because then they wouldn't mean anything to us. And so your brother wants you to understand that your questions are going to be answered more completely, gradually, as you go throughout your life, acting in faith and trying as hard as you can to be happy in the face of hardship. Then the answers will come to you with more speed and with more certainty, okay? But he wants you to know that he's always going to be there to protect you and to never lose hope, okay?
Good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Happy holidays to you, madam. Bye-bye.
You too.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. It's a hard time of year, and we encourage her to call any of our other psychics that are mediums. And thank you, Stephen. Maureen, you have our call from Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, Pennsylvania. Hi, Pennsylvania. Hello.
Hello, Maureen.
Hi, who's this?
This is Penny.
Oh, hi, Penny. How are you?
Good. I was wondering if you could tell me about my love life.
And can you be more direct? So,
yeah,
we're on here.
Is anything going to happen with my love life? Is there anybody coming?
Is there one particular person you have in mind?
No.
Okay. Oh, so you're open. All open. Okay. Well, this is what I'm getting. Certainly the one from the past is not stopping himself, but you're open to anything new. So what I'm getting, Penny, is I'm not seeing, I'll be honest when I'm saying I'm seeing, I won't just, you know, tell you what I think I see, but I'm not seeing a particular individual on at this point when I'm reading for you right now. But what I am seeing, you're going to be very happy. And I feel it's going to be around February, the month of February. It'll be after the first year. I do feel before that time, anything that might be going on between now to February, it'll be very difficult. Now, I'm not saying it's a person, because like I said, I'm not seeing an individual, like a face like I normally do. But I'm also getting that somebody may be someone from your past. But I am seeing very much so that everything that you really want and desire for a relationship, or perhaps one that may have been someone from your past, I see you definitely being fulfilled, very happy woman that will feel, just get someone from your past, but I do feel it'll be something, you'll be finally liberated. You'll feel liberated in this kind of relationship. And like, again, you know, sometimes I'll see fate, you know, when I've spoken to you before, if I had a certain face of a person, I'm not seeing the individual itself, but as far as the relationship time goes, but I do feel it'll definitely be somebody after the first year, you'll be very happy and content with. I do see you taking a, there does look like another short trip for you too, a getaway coming up, that I feel that will have a lot to do maybe with reconnecting or connecting with this such person. It looks very, very positive, but I am getting reconnection from a past person who really will be stepping it up and being a better person. But I do feel that you're going to be a very happy woman in relationship or heading in a direction that you would be fulfilled and happy. But it feels February is a very prominent month for that.
This one from the past, is it like a far past or...
I'm not sure on that, but I do feel it's someone that you would know of if you had someone on your mind about that. It's someone that made a bit of an imprint on your relationship life. If you could, you know, reflect back, I'm sure there weren't, you know who I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I'm just saying what I get.
What was that?
I'm just saying what I get. I know. I
mean, yeah. It's. I mean, they've all. That's why they're in the past, though, too.
But this particular individual, I do feel that it was pretty intense and pretty intense that they kind of were not all that great. But somebody that I do feel that you would have a thought for from time to time. Somebody that also hurt you a bit, and I'm not condoning it, but I'm seeing this as one of those very positive things that do occur. And I also see somebody coming back and asking for forgiveness after really redeeming themselves, actually, in quite a way.
Not my ex.
Someone maybe like your ex in that type of way. Someone that was, it looks like somebody that has lighter eyes. Let's give it, I'll say this. Lighter eyes and who is a traditional kind of man, but then he turned out not to be so much so, more like an ass later. But there's something that they're still not through. It's not complete. It looks very positive. Penn, I think you know what maybe I'm talking about. But I do see February, you're going to be very happy. Extremely happy.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Penny. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nice energy, hey?
she's lovely, yeah.
That's great. Thanks, Maureen. Great, great, great. Okay, so I wanted to thank you, all our readers, and also our guest, Kevin Scopel, an amazing man. Too bad he is in Tucson. We don't always meet our speakers. And one day that would be very, very nice. And I wanted to thank you for listening to our show. We're going to just let you know about next week's show. It's entitled Quantum Time, and it's going to be presented by Steve. His guest is Charlene Jones. She's an energy worker, and she will be discussing new energies resulting from the galactic alignment. Really? Cool. And how it will affect 2014. So now this is a quantum physicist, I expect. I'm not sure. Steve isn't here to tell us, but we will be probably, he mentioned she was writing 25 books, so I am going to be very fascinating. This is exactly what we need to hear. Excellent. And I wanted to thank everybody for coming in and listening to our show this evening. Be well, you know, and thank you, and be with God. Take good care.
Have a great week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.